Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. It is my joy this morning to be able to share God's word together with you today. So I'm going to invite you to grab your Bibles, whether you're at home or here in person. Grab your Bibles. If you have the book of the Bible, we're going to look in two spots today. If you have the app on your phone, you might have to flip back and forth. If you have a physical book of the Bible, what I would encourage you to do is first look at a passage that's found in Exodus. Exodus is the second book of the Bible. So you have Genesis and then Exodus, and we're going to be in Exodus 16 this morning. So when you find Exodus 16, we're going to look at it a little later today, so you can put a bookmark there or put your finger there, hold that spot open. And then the passage we're going to start out today is found in Matthew. So turn about two-thirds of your way through your Bibles to the first book of the New Testament. That's the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to be looking together at verse 11. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 11. If you are new with us this morning, we are in the midst of a sermon series where we have been studying the Lord's Prayer, this prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And we've been going kind of line by line or petition by petition. And as we have said, Lord, teach us to pray, we have been looking at these words and asking this question, saying, okay, what are we saying or what are we praying when we say these sacred words? And I trust over the last couple of weeks, we notice that they're just a few words, but they have such depth and such insight and such good thoughts through all of these words that Jesus invites us to pray. And we're going to see that again, I think, this morning. And so before we look at the scripture passage, would you please join me in asking for God's blessing in this time together. Let's pray. Lord, we are grateful for this morning. We are grateful for the time to be able to gather together in worship. We are grateful for your word. And within your word, we are grateful for this prayer. And we would pray again this morning that Holy Spirit, you would lead and guide us as we read it and as we study it, as we think well about it together. Would you guide every word that is spoken and every word that is heard? And would you imprint upon each one of us exactly what you would want us to receive this day? We ask this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, we read these words. Give us today our daily bread. Amen. Can you feel a bit of a shift that is taking place with these words? So far, we have heard, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. And now today we hear these words, give us today our daily bread. Can you feel it? Can you feel that shift? We've moved from your now to give us. We've moved from acknowledging the greatness of God and the majesty of his kingdom and the beauty of being in his will to now we have what is an actual petition, an actual request. Give us today our daily bread. The basic lesson we learn from this shift is that, friends, it is okay for us to ask God for something. God is not an unapproachable or unrelenting, an unfeeling dictator in whose presence we have to tremble or who we have to be afraid to ask for anything. Otherwise, if we approach this king, it's off with our heads. Not at all. The opposite is completely true. We have a God who is a loving Heavenly Father, a God who loves us, a God who cares about us, a God who from whom we can ask for anything. It says bread here in these words, and sure, if we want to ask God for a loaf of Sara Lee honey, we can do that. But we can ask God for anything. And in our asking, what this petition teaches us are two important lessons. Lessons that are easily forgettable these days. The first lesson these words teach us is this. Is that when we say these words, give us today our daily bread, the lesson is that we depend on God for the preservation of our life. That is one of the most outlandish things we might be able to say today. And so let me just say that again. We depend on God for the preservation of our life. And the reason that sounds so strange for us to say today is because I could walk back over there to my office right now, and I can pull out my phone, and with just a couple of taps, I can order something on Amazon and have it delivered to my doorstep in 2 days. How does that teach me that I depend on the preservation of my life upon God? Or I could go, after worship this morning, I could go for the weekly shopping trip to Hy-Vee here in Waukee, and I could find every kind of food item I could ever want. In fact, I stand there in front of the lettuce, and I could choose from 3 different kinds of shredded lettuce. Or I stand there. Have you ever done this? You stand there in the soft shell tortilla section. Overwhelming. There are so many options and so many kinds of brands and so many sizes and so many packaging options. I mean, of soft shell tortillas. Then I can go to Costco. And we know Costco has everything, doesn't it? And not just everything, but it has it in abundance, except toilet paper. How many of us last year were depending on God for toilet paper, yes? But we can go to Amazon, we can go to Hy-Vee, we can go to Costco, and I didn't even talk about Walmart, and I didn't even talk about the holiest of all places, Target, right? But we have all of this at our fingertips. And so it might seem strange for us this morning, this very thought, this lesson, we have access to everything at our fingertips, this lesson that we depend on God for the preservation of our life. And so this petition is really a confession that everything comes from God. Everything is a gift from God. Everything we have in our life, God provides for us. And so we depend on God. Not Amazon, not Hy-Vee, not Costco. We depend on God for everything. And that first lesson leads to the second lesson. That this petition teaches us that we must trust God for everything. When we pray this petition, give us today our daily bread, we are placing our trust that God will give to us that which we need. Not just to survive, but to thrive as his people when we seek first his kingdom and seek to live into his will. God will give to us what we need. Now we have to be careful with this because when we can't start expecting that we're going to get that 4-carat diamond ring that would look so good on our finger, right? Or when we get home today, we're going to have that souped-up Mustang. Where's Bill? I saw Bill here. That souped-up Mustang Cobra is not going to be sitting in our garage. I wish that too, right? It'd be a lot of fun to drive. Or when we get home today, that PS5 that Santa forgot to bring us at Christmas is not going to be underneath the TV set, right? Those are wants. We're trusting God with our needs. We're trusting God with what we need. God gives to us what we need when we need it. And when we know that, when we believe that, that is to trust. And so this petition is a lesson on trusting God. And so we find in these words, those first words, give us, give us. This is a petition that is both a request and it is also a faith statement. When we say those words, give us, we are asking God to provide that which we are dependent upon to live. It's a request. And when we say these words, give us, they are declaring, we're declaring our faith, we're declaring our trust that God is the one who can and will provide. It's a faith statement. Give us today our daily bread. There's this question that nags at my mind when I hear those words. And maybe it's a question that nags at your mind as well. The question that's in my mind when I hear this is, well, how much? How much do we need? Jesus teaches us to say these words. And listen to the emphasis here. He teaches us, he says, give us today our daily bread. Twice, today and daily, emphasizing the here and now. Now, can we possibly imagine that God expects us to trust him for what we need in 24-hour increments? And not to plan, and not to save up, and not to store away for the future? Does God expect us to trust him for daily provisions? That we are dependent upon him each and every day to provide what we need and how much we need for that day? Could that possibly be? Well, maybe we could ask the Israelites. Remember the Israelites, yes? They're wandering around in the desert after being freed from slavery. And so if you would, I would invite you, we have that passage open yet, to turn to Exodus 16. Turn back with me all the way to the left, the second book of the Bible, Exodus 16. We've got a fascinating passage here before us that we're going to look at together. As we consider that question, how much do we need? How does this work each day? And what we're going to do is we're going to invite Amanda. She's going to come and read for us a most helpful story from the Israelites. So if you're here in the worship center, I'm going to invite you to draw your attention to the screen. If you're at home, keep watching the screen. Amanda is going to read our scripture passage for us, Exodus 16, starting in verse 1.
The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt! There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening, you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning, you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?" Moses also said, "You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses told Aaron, "Say to the entire Israelite community, 'Come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.'" While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, 'At twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God.'" That evening, quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, They said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Each one is to gather as much as he needs. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent." The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. Each one gathered as much as he needed. Then Moses said to them, "No one is to keep any of it until morning." However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as he needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted away. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, two omers for each person, and the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. He said to them, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left and keep it until morning." So they saved it until morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink or get maggots in it. "Eat it today," Moses said, "because today is a Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any." Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay here where he is on the seventh day. No one is to go out." So the people rested on the seventh day. The people of Israel called the bread manna.
Thank Amanda for reading our scripture passage here from Exodus 16. I'm going to invite you to keep your Bibles open there. We're going to look there together. It is the most fascinating passage, isn't it? This passage here in Exodus 16. And it's not just fascinating because of the miracle of manna, which is in and of itself an incredible piece of this passage. But when I'm reading this passage, and as I'm listening to Amanda read this passage in the context of the Lord's Prayer petition we're looking at, "Give us today our daily bread," in this context of this question, you know, how much is needed? What does it look like to have daily bread? When I read this passage and listen to this passage in that context, I am intrigued. I am fascinated by the amount of detail and the attention given throughout this passage to the amount of food from the Israelites, from Moses, from the Lord. It happens over and over and over again. There's a lot of it in there. We're only going to look at a couple of them this morning. So here's what I mean by that. If you look in your Bibles at verse 3, chapter 16, verse 3, the Israelites here, they're in the desert, and they are complaining about how great they had it in Egypt and how terrible it is in the desert. And in verse 3, they say, you know, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt." You know, we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you, Moses, you have brought us out into the desert to starve this assembly to death. Now, I hear those words from the Israelites and I would say, hold up just a second. You were slaves in Egypt for 400 years, and you cried out to the Lord again and again to be released from slavery. But these Israelites here, they would have us believe that old Pharaoh must have gone down to the Waukee Triangle and into that new great store on the Waukee Triangle called Old Station Craft Meats, and bought the place out. How would that sound? Nick, Suzanne, does that sound good? If Pharaoh had come down and bought all the steak and all the rack of ribs and all the cuts of meat that I don't even know how to pronounce and bought the place out because they had pots of meat and ate all the food they wanted. And now they're starving. Now, the Lord responds right away to this. Verse 4, I will rain down bread. And in the next breath, the people are to go out each day and gather. Here's what it says. Enough for that day. The Lord doesn't say, I'm going to rain down bread so you can store up tons of boxes of cereal and lots of bags of chips and all sorts of containers of graham crackers in your pantry to pack it full. Enough for that day. And we find that the Lord knows this is going to be a little bit of an issue for the Israelites. He goes on later on in chapter 4, he acknowledges, he says, in this way I will test them. I'll test them to see whether they will follow my instructions. In other words, for the Israelites and for us as well, if we will trust God. Now, as Amanda read, the Lord gives more instructions and there's more details given about how much and so forth. And it all leads to this. Later on, it leads to the manna finally comes down and the people are confused. They go out and they look at it like, well, what is this? And so Moses tells them what this is. This is the answer to your prayers. Really, this is the answer to your griping. This is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. Now check out verse 16 with me. Moses is still explaining here what this manna is, and he says, this is what the Lord has commanded. Each one is to gather as much as he needs. Listen to that again. Each one is to gather as much as he needs. But the question we're asking is, how much is that? How much do we need? So let's keep going. Verses 17 and 18 give incredible detail here. It says in verse 17 and 18, the Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, the one who gathered much did not have too much. And the one who gathered little did not have too little. Do you see the picture that's being painted here? People go out and they gather different amounts of manna. Some gathered much, some gathered little. And no matter how much or how little they gathered, it was just right. And verse 18 ends this way, each one gathered as much as he needed. And then one more time in verse 21, each morning everyone gathered as much as he needed for that particular day. Now, as you heard Amanda read, the story goes on, and the Israelites get this wrong a couple of times. Sometimes they go out and they try to gather even more so they can save it up for the next day, but what happens? It spoils, gets moldy. It's full of maggots, nasty. And then sometimes on the Friday, which is the sixth day, manna is not going to come on the Sabbath, the seventh day. And so they're supposed to gather extra, but some people don't do that. And so they wake up on Saturday morning looking for manna, and they don't find any, so they're going to be hungry that day. So they got some work to do to figure this all out. But what I find so incredible in this passage is the amount of focus and the amount of detail on the amount of food. And the most consistent form of measurement is not 10 pounds or 5 pounds or 2 pounds. The most consistent form of measurement is simply as much as needed. Because when it's compared to the omer, which is about a gallon, when it's compared to the omer, it was always the right amount. Whether the person took much or whether they took little, it was the right amount they needed. Which leads me to believe this, that when we ask the question, how much is needed, it's not a hard and fast answer according to the testimony here in verse 18. People gather what they need for that day. Whether much, it wasn't too much. Whether little, it wasn't too little. And so instead, when we pray this petition, give us today our daily bread, instead of asking the question, how much is needed? Perhaps the better question we can ask is, what is needed? What do I need? What do I need in order to grow in my dependence upon God? God, what do I need in order for me to be able to grow in my trust of God? What do I need? What will God provide so that I can grow in my dependence and in my trust with Him, so that I can grow healthier in my relationship with my God? That's a shift from how much to what do I need. And friends, if I can be honest with you this morning, that is a lesson, that shift from how much to what in order to be healthy, that's a lesson that I've been learning over this past year. You know, in one of his movies, I didn't look up which one, in one of his movies, Liam Neeson says he has a particular set of skills. You familiar with that quote? I have a particular skill set. I can eat. I can really eat. I love to eat food. And sometimes I joke that I have the spiritual gift of eating. And that leads me to be able to put away massive amounts of food. I will not tell you how much food I ate at the Pizza Ranch my sophomore year in a pizza eating contest. Disgusting. And I joke about this. But honestly, this is a struggle for me. Food is my struggle. I know some people, they struggle with alcohol. Some people, they struggle with pornography. I don't struggle with those things. I struggle with food. Food is my go-to. Food is where I go when I'm stressed. Food is my coping mechanism. And I struggle with food. And and I tell you what, that struggle is hard because I have a fairly public role where week after week I have to stand in front of you and you get to see how well I'm doing in my struggle, if I'm doing well or if I'm not doing so well. So last January, I started to be more proactive and sought to be healthier, to have a healthier approach to food in dealing with this struggle. So what I did is I started seeing a nutritionist. And he has been an incredible wealth of information for me. He has been a great encourager. He's been a great support for me. And he has become really a great friend. And one of the things I've learned from him this past year is that it's not how much I think I need, but it's what I actually need. So let me show you an illustration here this morning. Over on this side of the table, I have, underneath here, are some of the things that I love to eat. All right, you guys know this. I like pizza. Marco's pizza is good. Big cheese, yes? Anybody else? So good, yep. I know my kids like it. I see them raising their hands. I love ice cream. Love ice cream. I love cookies, especially, oh my goodness, do I love M&M cookies. They are my favorite. And Cindy at the food pantry knows this, and sometimes she puts them in my office for me. Cindy, you're not helping me. I love you, but you're not helping me. This is from Cindy this week. I kid you not. And I love cinnamon rolls. Oh, I can make some homemade cinnamon rolls. They're so good. I love to eat this kind of food. And trust me, my friends, in my lifetime, I have eaten a lot of this kind of food, and it has been a detriment to my health. It's not been good for me. But working with Joey, that's the name of my nutritionist, has helped me understand really what my body needs, how I can be healthy, and what it looks like to have the right combination of proteins and carbs and fats. You know, so often we think about, well, I just gotta eat less carbs, or I just gotta eat less fats, right? And I'm gonna be healthier. We need the right combination of proteins and good carbs and good fats. It's not how much, it's what we're eating. And so instead of eating this as much as I would like to, I'm now eating things like this. I brought some stuff with you this morning to show you. I am eating these sorts of things. Instead of cinnamon rolls for breakfast, I'm eating eggs and egg whites, which are rich in protein for us. And instead of eating, all sorts of hot dish and stuff like that, we eat a lot of chicken, grilled chicken in different, I don't say casseroles, but chicken and all sorts of different things. And their kids are like, what are we having for supper tonight? We're having chicken. Chicken again? Yes, we're having chicken. Yes, chicken. I'm eating a lot of broccoli. Staff, I am so sorry, because we bake our broccoli and then I heat it up in the microwave, and they see my plate full of broccoli in the bullpen and I heat it up and it stinks in there afterwards. I'm sorry, staff. We eat a lot of broccoli now. And also, I have some stuff here too, a lot of rice and a lot of oatmeal for breakfast as well. So I eat a lot of this stuff now. Now, I understand what you're thinking this morning. This stuff, this is boring. This is kind of bland. This stuff tastes good. You're right. I would much rather eat this stuff than here. But this is what my body needs in order for me to be healthy. Now, the fascinating thing is, I'm not telling you anything new this morning. You guys know you eat too much of this, it's not healthy. You eat this, it's healthier for you. You guys know that. But the fascinating thing I've learned from Joey is this, is that I can actually eat way more of this than this and still be healthy. Because normally you just think, well, I'm just going to eat less. I'm just going to eat less bad stuff. And you start to starve yourself. The reality is I can eat so much more of this. When I started on that meal plan, he had me eating so much protein and carbs and fats, I could not finish the plates. In fact, right now I'm doing something yesterday. I don't eat breakfast on Sunday morning, but on Saturday morning. Yesterday morning, what I'm doing right now is at breakfast time, I ate 2 eggs, a cup full of this, and a cup of oatmeal. Do you know how much oatmeal a cup of oatmeal is? And I am full when I am done. But by 10 o'clock in the morning, I'm ready for my snack. I'm hungry again. It's healthy. It's not how much, it's what I'm putting into my body. And so what my health is not based on how much, it's what I'm eating. Now, trust me, friends, I have cheat days. Trust me, I go on vacation and, we have a lot of fun over here. And it's okay to eat over here, but I can't take up residence over here. This is what I need for my body to be healthy. And so when we think about this petition of the Lord's Prayer and we say, God, give us today our daily bread, it's not so much how much do we need. The question is, what do I need? Because we can get in this trap, right? We can get in this trap and say, God, I'm going to pray this prayer. Give us today our daily bread. And God, I look over here and this person has this and this person has that and they have so many more of those things. And how come I only have this little bit? And yes, of course, I'm surviving just fine, but we get caught up in how much someone else might have. How much they're getting, how much they have. We get caught up in that. But the thing is for us, the prayer is, what do I need? What does God need for me to have today? What does God need for me to have today so that I can grow in my dependence upon Him, He who is the giver of every good and perfect gift? What does God need? Not how much, but what does God need for me to have today so that I can grow in my trust of Him? And when I grow in my dependence and when I grow in my trust of God, then I am growing spiritually healthy. I'm growing in my relationship with God and I'm leaning upon Him and trusting Him to provide what I need. And I learn what it means to have faith in God. Friends, I believe that this is what this petition is pointing us to. And this example here of the Israelites and manna, it's pointing to that when we pray this petition, give us today our daily bread, we're asking God that you would provide what we need. Not a specific item, not a specific amount, but what we need in order to be healthy, in order to be spiritually healthy, in order to be emotionally healthy, in order to be physically healthy, in order to be mentally healthy, in order to be relationally healthy, in order that we might be healthy in our relationship with God. Give us today our daily bread. God, what do I need so I can learn to depend on you? God, what do I need so that I can trust in you? God, give me today what I need, exactly what I need, when I need it, so that I can depend and trust in you. Amen. Friends, what I want to do this morning is I want to walk away from that table and I want to walk over to another table. This is the Lord's table. This is the Lord's Supper where we come and we have communion. Because I want to name this morning that as people of God, people who are loved by God, people who God knows, people who God has called, as people of God, what we need is Jesus. And here at the Lord's Supper in communion, we get Jesus. At the Lord's Supper, we find Jesus. So we're reminded of Him of his life, of his death, of his resurrection. At Jesus, at the Lord's Supper, we have communion with Jesus, and we're united together with him. And at the Lord's Supper, we have hope in what is yet to come. As people of God, we need Jesus. Friends, our world needs Jesus. Our nation needs Jesus. Our communities need Jesus. Our schools need Jesus. Our workplaces need Jesus. Our neighborhoods need Jesus. Our homes need Jesus. Our relationships need Jesus. You and I, we need Jesus. That is what we need. And here at the Lord's Supper, we find and we get Jesus. Let's pray together. God, here at the Lord's Supper, you have once again filled us with the grandeur of your grace found in Jesus Christ. And we confess today that he is what we need, that Jesus, the bread of life, Jesus, the vine in whom we must abide, that he is what we need so that we might know you and be known by you, that we might grasp the love that you have for us, and that we might demonstrate your love, our love for you, so that we might know who we are, and that we might find our rest in these moments and in all of eternity, that we might find our rest in you. Lord, we need Jesus. And we are thankful, God, that you did not withhold your one and only Son, but that you gave him up for us all, so that all might know him and might believe in him, and all that do would find the gift of sins forgiven and life eternal. We thank you for the gift of Jesus. And God, as we pray this prayer today, we are also thankful that we can indeed ask for all that we need, and that you, God, our loving Heavenly Father, you will not only hear our every prayer, but you will answer every prayer according to your perfect will. And so with that confidence within us, God, today, we ask for healing for those who are sick. We ask for protection for those who stand in harm's way. We ask for comfort for those who mourn. We ask for wisdom for those who lead and make decisions. We ask for peace in our tension-filled land. We pray for restoration of relationships that have been ruptured. We pray for empathy for those with whom we do not understand. We pray for patience for those with whom we disagree. We pray for compassion for those who face troubles. Lord, we pray for the outpouring of every goodness that is inherent of you, that is spurred on by your unconditional love, that we might indeed receive exactly what we need when we need it, according to the riches of your grace. For all of this, God, we thank you and we bless you. And God, we thank you for the wisdom and the example set forth by Jesus in this prayer that we have been studying together. And let's all close this prayer together with the words of the Lord's Prayer. Friends, whether you are here in this space or whether you're joining us from home, let's say these words together. And if you would like, the words will appear on the screen to follow. Let's pray these words together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.